I have told you many times. I don't think I can say it too many times. Most every great scholar of Scripture has indicated and recognized and thus indicated it, that these few verses from Romans 1, or rather Romans 3, verse 21, through the 26th verse, all one sentence, remember? Try to find a period from the 21st verse, which begins with "but now," introducing a new era, ending with "which believeth in Jesus," which I'll deal with when we get to the 26th verse. There's not a period. One sentence. And yet, in that one sentence, from Luther to the modern, I think, best expositors on this book, Barnhouse and Lloyd Jones is in that camp, but Barnhouse and James Boyce set the pace. All agreed. Understand these verses, you understand Romans. Understand these verses, you understand the Bible. Understand these verses, you understand the gospel. Don't understand these verses, you're never going to get it. Now, we have finished, for the time being, 24th verse, which is but a section, just a section of this long sentence. And I have dealt with justification. Not finished, because we're going to come to it again. But in the 24th verse, being justified freely, we will come again to justification when we get down to the 28th verse, for example. We conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I want to say something to you before I get into today's message, which is there, about justification. I'm sure that many of you, thought occurs to you once in a while, why is he beating this subject to death so much? Well, let me read something to you. I'm not going to ask you because you haven't got a choice anyway. This word, justification, dikaiomenoi, I've been writing this on the board ever since we started in Romans. You've seen this before? Remember that? Dike. We've traced it through the Greek language from the daughter of Zeus and Themis, who was the enforcer in Greek mythology of the laws and rules of Zeus. We've traced it through the impersonal sense of some standard of rightness that permeates the creation, and we have brought it to the Old Testament word, which a derivative of this word, dike, always translates. Some derivative of dike is always translating the Old Testament word, reversing it, because they write from right to left, sedek, S-D-Q, with the vowels added, righteousness. Simply stated, righteousness, if there is a God, is what he says it is. And the righteousness that we seek, if you want to be on God's side, is right relationship with Him. And He defines the terms, and I've said this thousands of times, why we call it an Old and New Testament. In English, last will and testament uses that word for covenant, among many others. One person writes all the terms when you write your will. God makes a covenant. He sets the terms. The old covenant was a covenant of works, because Satan deceived Adam and Eve, made them think that eating of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, once they had knowledge of good and evil, they'd be like God. So God gave them knowledge of good and evil, written in stone. Do this, you live. Don't do it, fall short of it, you die. That was the covenant. A covenant that has no meaning, or a righteousness that has no meaning apart from the covenant. Oh, in ancient Greece, when they deified the state, the polis, you were a righteous citizen, a derivative of dike, and I would say, going backwards, Sedeca, if you did what the state said you had to do. You were right with the state if you did what the state determined was right. A contract. Sedeca is a relationship based upon keeping the terms set by the one who has the right to define the terms. The message of the gospel is that there is a righteousness apart from, separated from, that old covenant of deeds and works. And we are being, as I've said, righteousified freely through the grace of Him, and on through the rest of the verse. But the problem is, in the English, we don't have a verb that I just made up, righteousified. We have to justify. Now, justify in the English comes from a judicial basis. Same roots as jurist and judge and jury. A judge is one who speaks and lays the law down or interprets it. It's in the forensic world. Now, there is absolute truth in the fact that one of the meanings of the root word, a verb, in the Greek, I hope you're interested in righteousness. One of the root words, the verb, dikaioo. This ending here defines two things. You can go to the dictionary of the theological dictionary of the New Testament, probably in modern days the greatest tome of research on the etymology and philology and the words and their meanings. Don't let anybody tell you that the word only means to declare righteous or to pronounce righteous or to view as. I mean, David and his great repentant prayer wants to be righteous in God's eyes. In another passage of one of the great Psalms that we were teaching on months back, he announces that he is righteous in God's eyes. And when we get to the fourth chapter, we'll find out that's because he was a father, not a lawkeeper. He was a murderer, an adulterer, many other things. This word also means to make righteous. By the time the Septuagint was written, there was a tendency to lean it toward declaring. Now, I don't want some smart-aleck theologian out there to say that I do not believe that part of the justifying experience, to use the word, does not include a basis by which God can view us and, whether announced or not, treat us as though we are what we're not. Covered, the glasses put on that looks at me differently now, and I am deemed, held, declared, pronounced, looked at as righteous. And that forensic term that they oft go to the courtroom to analogize, your standing changes. Whereas you were on trial in this country where you're presumed innocent until proven guilty, when the jury renders the verdict or the judge renders the verdict, your standing is, if you're not guilty or guilty, you are to be treated with that status, even though only God and you know whether you're really guilty. And in our standing before God, we all know we are guilty. But the justification theology wants to restrict this encounter that is using the dikai oumenoi to simply the forensic declaration. Here I am, a sinner, and I am being justified, whatever that means. I'm being, and they'll then try to explain it, declared, looked at, pronounced, given the standing of righteous covering, or whatever word you want to put on it. I'm being justified freely. Well, the very participle says it's a process. And yet you will encounter throughout the whole evangelical world the tendency to separate these as Tozer laments into destination points. Before God can get on with making me righteous, He has to declare me justified. And it's been said so often, we all think we know what it means. But I think you have seen, and it's obvious, that it's the same word in the Greek. And I don't really need to go to the other languages today, because the Greek is going to be adequate. But in these languages, I had to go to the other languages to support the fact it's the same word. And I told you in this whole passage where it changes from righteous or righteousness to a verb, action or activity, scratch out justified, scratch out justification, and stick to the Greek pattern, same word, different form, noun formed from the verb, either way. And since righteousness is the consistent translation of tzedekah, which is right relationship with God in the covenant relationship of the time, stick to a dikai word. And in English, stick to right word, righteousness, right relationship with God. They have to explain when they use justification what it means, and I still haven't got it in my head what any of them mean. because they can't explain it adequately. They forensically separate it. In fact, I teeter precariously in that theology. I'm a sinner, and I express faith, and I'm justified. I'm still a sinner, but I'm justified. And then add to the evil, once saved, always saved, doesn't matter, I've been justified. Now, if I have got you a little bit uncertain and confused, I'm a success, because I can move on now. Are you convinced that in the Greek, have I shown you adequately, if one word, just changing its form, noun, adjectives, adverbs, verbs, it's all dike, comes from a root. Dike, rightness. So change justification and put being righteousified. In fact, it's you can't even say being righteousification. Justification, you can't say that. You say righteousizing. Being justified, righteousified. You got it? Well, they say, I wish you'd get on with this, because I'm on your side. Yeah? Listen to this. John Calvin, the father of Presbyterian... Well, let me go back a bit. This is Boyce. Who's quoting Morris. Leon Morris, who wrote a wonderful book on the preaching of the cross. He's saying, he who would expound justification, I think I'm trying, is confronted with 81 occurrences of the adjective, listen, dikaios, 92 of the noun, dikaiotune, 2 of the noun, dikaiosis, 39 of the verb, dikaioo. 10 of them, that's what I've written up here, dikai, o-o. 10 of the noun, dikai oma, and 5 of the adverb, dikaios. I haven't added them up, you mathematicians have, but that's a pile of them. But what I want you to see, every one of them begins with dikai. And he's talking about, as though I would have him believe, anyone who would expound justification encounters all these dike words. And John Calvin says, the father of the Presbyterian and Reformed churches and the other pivotal reformer with Luther, called justification, am I boring you? The main hinge on which salvation turns. Okay? Thomas Cranmer, framer of the Church of England, believed that justification is, quote, the strong rock and foundation of Christian religion. He declared that, quote, whosoever denieth this doctrine is not to be counted for a true Christian man, but for an adversary of Christ. I'm not against or denying the forensic judge of the universe taking us on the basis of atonement as though we're not. I preached these 28 years on the circle on the board. Two things happen simultaneously, not consecutively. Simultaneously. When faith connects, God puts on the glasses of Jesus and looks at me as though I'm his son, finished product, sitting on his right hand. And I'm not yet. But instantly when faith connects, Another thing happens. The life that raised up Christ from the dead is dispensed and in me at that moment. There's an embryo of his life, for want of a better way to say it. Simultaneously, I am what justification claims. I'm not disagreeing with the idea. I'm suddenly looked at. All sins covered, all sins paid for, all penalties done, the old covenant wiped out, its claim on me gone, that husband, as I'll say in the seventh chapter, dead and I'm free to marry another. All that happens simultaneously. I'm looked at anew, and I'm born anew with new life. My war with the traditional regurgitation, without thought, without thinking out of the box, fearful of repercussions, is the peddling of meaningless terms and the suggestion by the very change of the word and the roots of the word in English that these are consecutive and thus separate and distinct happenings. No, they're not. It's an existential occurrence, simultaneous. God in me, and I viewed as in Christ. So, let's keep going. Thomas Watson, one of the finest of the Puritans, said, "Justification is the very hinge and pillar of Christianity. An error about justification is dangerous. Like a defect in a foundation, justification by Christ is a spring of the water of life. To have the poison of corrupt doctrine cast into this spring is damnable." The great reformer Martin Luther wrote, "When the article of justification has fallen, everything has fallen. This is the chief article from which all other doctrines have flowed. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the Church of God, and without it the Church of God cannot exist for 1 hour. Luther said that justification is the master and prince, the lord, the ruler, and the judge over all kinds of doctrines. Now, you got to give me credit for guts. Traditions make void the Word of God. Every one of these people are using the word justification. And when Calvin made the remark, and he didn't make it in English, the word justification is a translation of what Calvin said. Calvin understood the doctrine of the simultaneous occurrence of the judicial writing of the relationship by penalty being paid and thus God free to take us without staining his righteous integrity. Luther didn't write it. Luther didn't use the word justification. He wrote in German. See how easy it is to trick your mind with words? And Paul sure didn't write it in English. He wrote it in Greek. And he used the same word. The problem of English is we don't have a verb.